Amen. Good morning. We're on week two of, I have no idea, after this week of studying, I think I've got 45 more weeks to do on the name of Jesus. I'm telling you, I made a mistake and watched a sermon last night and went to bed at 4:30, and I'm so wired right now that that's not uncommon for me, though, you realize. I just, 4:30, it's like, it's 4:30, I better go to sleep. And I just laid there and tried to go to sleep. But I did sleep through my alarm at 6:30, though, I want you to know. I wasn't surprised. I'm excited because having faith in the name of Jesus will change everything that we encounter in life. And getting back to the basics sometimes is just the simple name that's the name above every name, that every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. The name of Jesus has been an offense and a stumbling block to so many people. And I want to believe that we as a church will continue to stand and focus on the power that's in that name. Last week we talked a lot about Acts. I went to Acts 4 and talked about, was it Acts 4? Acts 4 last week. We talked about the power in the name of Jesus that brought healing. And then when they used it, the attackers couldn't even say it. They said, in that name, they couldn't even say the name. That was so powerful. We can demonstrate the power of God through his name in every area of our life. We have victory. Demons flee. And we're going to go through all that stuff too. We have so much. And so let's start with one review. And it's just, again, I don't feel like I do due diligence if I don't start with Mark chapter. Anybody? Mark 11, thank you. Thank you. Some of you have been paying attention for the last 2 years. Let's start here. Why not, right? And I shared this last week, and I realized I never got my point. I never finished my point, and I was telling somebody later on, I'm like, I realized I read that. I went, whoops. So starting in verse 22, we just talked about this last week, that Jesus, his disciples came and said, hey, Jesus, that tree you cursed, today we're walking by it, and it's dead. What happened? And he took their focus away from what happened and tried to put it back on have faith in God. And then he gives us a principle. And this is a principle that I'm going to tell you that what I did not share last week that I mean to share with you today, and this is very important. This is a principle that works. Jesus was just trying to get them to focus on their faith being presented to Jesus rather than on the principle. There's a lot of principles in the Word, and I want you to hear this. There's a lot of principles in this Word that works in the world without the name of Jesus. Do you know that? Sowing and reaping works whether you're saved or not. Come on. The power of positive thinking is a message the world preaches all the time. Speaking, confessing things is not something that originate in the Word, but it's not something that stayed there. We got the power of, we have institutes built all over the world on the power of positive thinking. We have religions built on it over one principle Jesus taught, one. And yet we get the whole Jesus. We don't just get what he taught, we get him. And that's the thing that we want to focus on. And I didn't do a very good job last week, and that's why I want to come back here this morning. We don't just get the principles of the Word, we get Jesus of the Word. He is the Word. He's the living Word. And so when we apply his principles, we must apply it with faith in God. Because just because you use a principle that works doesn't mean you're walking in a great relationship with Jesus. The rich young ruler is one of the greatest stories we tell of this all the time. He acquired much wealth. And when Jesus questioned him, he said, I have followed your principles since the beginning. I am doing the principle that works. He said, okay, then sell everything you got. And he was grieved. Grieved because what he did worked. Jesus didn't rebuke him for having money. The money had him. Folks, I believe that God wants to bless us, but don't ever let the blessing rule you. You rule it. And then you're able to do that to bless others. I'll tell you right now, I hope and my prayer is that, Lord, bring millions into me so I can bring millions through me. If you just want a bigger house, that's fine. Maybe you need one. Then in the process of sowing, go ahead and sow into your home too. I don't care. I'm not here to judge the size of your home or what car you drive. We let the world do that. They do a good job, and a lot of other churches do a good job too. We're not going to do that because that's not my focus. My focus is on Jesus, and he's the one that brought the blessing, and I want to stay blessed by walking in that. So let's keep reading because we're going to jump into where we are today. So verse 22, Jesus answered, said, have faith in God. For verily I say to you, a principle here that works no matter what, that whosoever shall say to the mountain, be thou removed and cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in their heart, but shall believe that those things which shall they says comes to pass, he shall have whatever he says. I like that principle. You shall have whatever. If you're going to go ahead and say, I don't believe in healing, you're going to have it. Amen. It's yours. I don't want that, by the way. I don't believe in blessing. You don't have to. I'll take yours if you don't mind. I don't believe in that. How in the world did she go halfway across the world and have peace the whole time? You don't believe in peace that's given to you? I'll take your peace for you. You don't believe joy unspeakable and full of glory is that we ought to be living? Then I'll take that. I want to live in the fullness of the word. And I want to receive everything that God has promised and is part of my inheritance as a child of God. And I'm going to receive it by faith. Then it says this, therefore I say to you, whatever those things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. When did you receive it? Go ahead, I don't mind. Yell it out. When did you receive it? As soon as you believed it. When did you get saved? As soon as you believed. Wait a minute, I didn't really feel saved right now. There's days in my life I don't feel saved. Okay, my anger, my frustration, my impatience. It's like, Lord, you know what? I believed I'm saved no matter the way I feel. There's a great statement those of you know that there's obviously people in this church that went to this Lester Summerall's church. You knew him personally, but I just get to read books about him. That's good. But Lester Summerall asked his spiritual father, mentor, Smith Wigglesworth, one time. He'd say, I learned after a while when I'd go and meet with him. And at one point in his life, I was reading this week, that he'd meet with him 3 times a week. I don't know why, But he said, as I was meeting with him, I remember the very first couple of times I'd walk up to him and say, Brother Smith, how do you feel today? He goes, this is what Smith Wigglesworth said about himself. He said, oh, let me get my new, oh, this is today's notes. I never ask Smith Wigglesworth how he feels. I tell Smith Wigglesworth how he's going to feel. He says it in third person. I thought that was so cool. And Lester Summerall went on to say, I learned something that if I am going to go and continually gauge how you're doing on the way you feel, we've missed it completely. My feelings don't determine the way my outlook of that day. My day should be determined by the way I speak it into there. Your outlook, just because you wake up in a bad mood doesn't mean you have to stay in one. I say it to my kids. No, I say it to myself every morning. You woke up today. That's step one. Now get in the good mood. Actually, I try to wake up. It doesn't matter what time. I just try to smile. Sometimes it works. But we control that ourselves. No one else can make your day better. And these are things, these are principles in the word that we get taught. Why not do it? Why not choose to live this way? Let's jump over to our scriptures this morning. That's enough review. Let's turn. While you're turning to John chapter 14, would you take a detour, because this is my first scripture I really want to get to. It's actually Luke 10. So on your way to John, just hang a pause in Luke 10, and we're going to read these three verses in Luke 10, verse 17. And we're talking about the name of Jesus, and today we're going to talk about some things that happen in the name of Jesus. We're going to talk about what we're going to be doing in the name of Jesus. Amen? What we are going to be doing in the name of Jesus. We are going to do these things in the name of Jesus. Not them, we. And the 70 returned again with joy. They returned again, by the way, which means it wasn't their first time. And they had it with joy in their hearts, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through your name. Hey, guess what? The baptism of the Holy Ghost wasn't happening yet. This was all just done in the name of Jesus. This was just the name. They had faith in a name that was greater than any other name, greater than demons, greater than sickness. You know what? And he said to them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. I watched it. Behold, I give you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all. Thank you. Boy, man, you beat me. That's good. You get a clap. I don't know who that was, but thank you. Over all the power of the enemy. and nothing shall by any means injure or hurt you. Do you believe this? I get preaching, and I sometimes when I read that and go, do you really believe it? That just told me something, that in the name of Jesus and him giving me authority, which we started last week about the Great Commission, in my name you shall cast out demons. In my name you shall lay hands on the sick and watch them recover. In my name, if you drink poison, it won't harm you. He said, if you do this in my name, you will see authority flow through it, because in my name is a derives authority that flows through you just by using the name. And next week we're going to talk about the authority we have with our identity in the name. That's next week. And I'm going to try to start a little of that on this morning and stop so you guys get a little bit of, I got to come back next week and finish because it's exciting. Oh, I'm so, maybe I should have got more than 3 hours of sleep. No, I shouldn't. I like this. I told Diane this morning, she made a mistake and said good morning to me. She's like, oh, you're fired up. I'm fired up because I got something. I was, you know, in the name of Jesus, nothing is impossible to them that believe. When you start believing this, it will change everything in you. There's nothing impossible to them that believe. In what? The name of Jesus. Our faith has a source, and it's a person. And last week he says, I could swear by none other but by my name. That's his character. He puts his character on the line. When you use his name, the character of God is on the line. He's not going to fail. He never fails. And that's what I'm excited about. So let's go to John chapter 14. We're going to start applying. How do we apply the principle that's been taught? You have been given authority through the name. John 14 is going to start the process. Then we're going to put our seatbelts on and see where it goes. I have so many stories I want to tell that I've made statements for years. I don't watch a lot of preaching or listen to it because when I do, it just fills me up with so much. And I made a mistake and watched an entire series this week that was 4.5 hours long. And man, I'm fired up by it. And that's all next week, by the way. It's not even this week. John 14, starting at verse 12. Thank you. Verily I say unto you, he that believes on me, he that has faith in Jesus, the works that I do, he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. And whatever, could you just help me out? Whatever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. I don't know about you. Just, if you shall ask, we got to finish, I can't stop. If you should ask anything in my name, I will do it. Where was the qualifier? You know what? Let's get our religious, Pharisaical mindset out of the way right now, and let's ask, did Jesus really mean that verse? He meant it with everything in him. He says, I want to see you do greater things than I do. Because when I go to the Father, when you use my name, my Father's out there smiling going, look at my son's name. Look at what he accomplished through his name. Now all my sons and daughters are accomplishing even more. Greater in numbers and greater in scope shall the church do, but we're not believing that we can really do it. This is a good time to insert another story. I was listening, and if you guys don't like who I talk about, you can get over it. But there's a story years ago that Kenneth Copeland told, and he told it again this week when I was watching. And I tell you, it almost put me in tears. He was called to go to a third world country where there was no power. So they had generators riding this. This was years ago, as you can imagine. And a father, minister, called him and said, I'd like you to come down to our village. And I need you to preach us about faith and Jesus, because my daughter has been diagnosed with a heart condition and she's going to die any day, and that's all we know. She's going to die. I told her, quote, don't be surprised. You just wake up and she's dead one day because she's dead. And so, as you can imagine, he goes, well, that's the first place to start. We won't do that anymore. We won't be speaking that over her. So he gets there. And his very first night of preaching this message, he's walking, and you gotta remember, This is a story that has two supernatural things to it. So if you don't want to get your faith up this where I'm at now, then check out real quick because you're going to go, oh, man, that's weird. It's okay. I got faith for this if you do. I really do. He steps out of the pulpit after just talking about the power that's in the name of Jesus to bring healing and deliverance and setting the captives free. He goes, and I walked out, and all of a sudden, as I walked out of the church, this village, it's like 60 steps up the hill, I hear this loud shrieking sound from the mother who said, my daughter, she's dead. She left the meeting and went up there and found her dead. No one knew how long she was there. So Kenneth was at the steps with us, and you know, and I don't know about you. Now, this is where it is. Decision time, folks. What would you do? Would you just go, oh, Jesus, please heal her. Do something. He just said in the name, as loud as I could, right there on the steps of that church, I just said, Jesus. And he goes, there's something in me rose up, and I turned to take a step up those hills. And you go, folks, you don't have to believe it. I do, because I read in the Bible, it happened to Philip in the unit. It happened right there. He took a step, and there he said, I know there's 50, 60 stairs. I took a step, and in my recollection, I was there. Boom, God brought me the front porch, and the father was holding his daughter dead in his arms, limp laying there. I touched, and he said, so what I did was, I said, well, let's pray. He goes, and I started praying, and this is where I really appreciate the humility. He goes, and I started praying the right prayer. Jesus, we just thank you. You're the healer, and we're going to raise her from the dead. And he goes, there was nothing. And all of a sudden, something goes, and this is where I really pray, because the anointing of God kicked in. And I just said, Jesus, you are the resurrection and the life. And we speak life. And he began to declare the name and the attributes and characteristics of God. Is he not the healer? Is he not the resurrection life? Did he not call forth Lazarus? He called forth life in that girl, and that death-ridden body was filled with the life of God, and she came alive, and this was 20-something years ago. And you know what? We don't hear it because we don't believe it. And it shook me when I heard him share that. I go, why are we not believing for that? We settle for the report, and yet in Philippians 4, it says, these things you're thinking, what's true, what's honest, what's lovely, what is a good report? And when we hear a bad report, we accept it so quickly. He had a death-ridden girl in a third-world country village with no power. The power was in the name of Jesus that raised somebody from the dead. And that's what I want to start seeing us start. Kenny just shared a couple weeks ago, this is my notes. I'm going to get there. Never mind. Stop. Go back to your notes. This morning as he was sharing, I'm excited. Thank you. This morning as he was sharing about the different miracles of Jesus, all. It's the character of God. He can't deny himself. And so if we allow fear and sickness and pain and worry, anxiety, and all the things that plague us on a daily basis the enemy wants to come against, we are compromising our belief in Jesus. He said, ask anything in my name and I'll do it. How do you have fear when you got a God like that? How do you live in unbelief when he said, ask and I'll do it? Let's go ahead just because I want to be a good biblical steward here. Let's go to John 16. No, we're not. We're going to James chapter 3. That's why I got notes. James 3. Because I want to make sure that we put proper contracts, because I said James 3, but I actually meant James 4, and that's why the computer person back there is going, your notes say James 4. We're going to start in James 4. From whence, verse 1, whence wars and fightings come among you, come they not hence even your own lusts that war against your members? You lust and you have not. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain it. You fight and war. You have not because you ask not. Why don't you have it? Because you didn't ask for it. But you know what? There's one qualifier, and it's one that everybody, every word police wants to throw at me. You know, you don't get everything you ask for. Okay, you're right. I'm going to tell you why. Verse 3. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust, which the first two verses just define what your lusts are doing. They're causing wars against your members, and they're causing problems in your life, and God's not going to give something that's going to add problems to your life. If you can't handle $100, why in the world is he going to give you $1,000? Hallelujah. If you can't handle what you got, you expect him to bless you with more? He says, when you're faithful to little things, I'll make you a ruler over much. He didn't say, I'll make you faithful over much, because you already proved your faithfulness in what he gave you. When you can prove your diligence and you're going to respond and you're going to handle the things of God properly, more comes from that, and you become a ruler. You become have more authority and dominion over the things that he's blessed you with. The biggest problem with money in the church is that people long for that more than they long for the God who gives it. He's not running out of money. Streets of gold, it's nothing for them. One gold bar off their street would pay a lot. I mean, they're not living very shabby up there in the pearly gates. But that's not their focus up there, is it? They got Jesus, the name that's above every name. And they're worshiping him day and night around the throne. And there's no darkness up there. They haven't focused one time on the pavement that they're walking on, which happens to be gold. This is how God is wanting us to start living in a realm where our sole focus is Jesus, that the blessing is a byproduct of being a part of the kingdom. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I want heaven on earth invading my life. I want the peace of God. I want the healing. I want the power. I want everything the presence of God has to offer today. Not tomorrow and not one day when I die and the good by and by. I want Jesus to manifest his presence and his glory in my life every single day. Amen? Okay, good. We're all in the same place here. Let's keep reading, because this is the other thing, that when you ask anything in my name, check out the authority. I'm jumping ahead a little bit, but while I'm here, I'm going to keep you here for a minute. Let's keep reading verse 4. You adulterers and adulteresses, know this is also why he's not giving you stuff, remember, because you don't use it right. You adulterers and adulteresses, know you not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. Do you think that the scripture says in vain the spirit that dwells lusts to envy? We got a war going inside. But he gives more grace. Wherefore, he says, God resists the proud, gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves to Jesus, to God. Resist the proud. Oh, it's a God. I'm sorry. Oh, boy, I jumped ahead, didn't I? Oh, I got so excited about the verse I was using. Duh. But he gives more grace than power. Wherefore, he says, God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. And he didn't say, talk to Jesus and pray about the devil. He says, resist the devil and he'll flee. We got to start learning the power that we have. We can ask anything in his name. It doesn't mean that we have to always go to the Father, because John 16:23 says that I and the Father one, if you ask anything in my name to the Father, I'll do it. We can do it either way. One is declaration and one is prayer. They both work. And whether you're praying to the Father in Jesus' name, or whether you're telling Satan to leave in Jesus' name, whether you're telling sickness to get out of your body in Jesus' name, it all is the same. It's in the name of Jesus. When we understand that when we're praying, and I was praying yesterday, I got a report that someone was just struggling. I already talked to him today. And I just had this burden to pray. Jesus, bring the power of healing and flowing. And then I began to pray and stand in the name of Jesus. Folks, it's time to get simple. You know that whole keep it simple, stupid? Just believe in the name of Jesus and you'll be saved. How do you get saved? I just believe in Jesus. He died and rose again for me. I just said, I believed in my heart, spoke in my mouth, and I'm saved. I don't know. How about the blind man? They asked Jesus, what happened? I don't know. I was blind, but now I see. Pretty simple. This guy, he walked up to me. He prayed for me. I walked away, came back, he's gone, and I can see. Let's keep it simple. Jesus is all about making it work. And we have confused it by trying to add jargons and different things, name it, claim it. I don't care what you want to label it. It doesn't get your labels out of the way. That's what it is. You let those things distract you from the message. I believe that Jesus said, John 14:14, ask anything in my name and I will do it. If you want to label that or put a name on it, shame on you. Don't add to Jesus. He said it. So let's keep going because I'm not done, believe it or not. Because I'm going to tell another story. So I got a lot of stories this morning. So another story I've told you before is a story about Kenneth Hagin. And after he received the revelation of John 14:14, he said, okay, Jesus, I'm going to go ahead and test this word out with you. I'm going to go and I'm going to find the meanest, he called Satan's right-hand man is what he called his brother Doug. Just want you to know, that's what he called his brother before he got saved. He was Satan's right-hand man. That's what Kenneth Hagin actually said in a sermon in 1986. That's what he called his brother. It's hilarious. So I don't have any family members like that, so that's good for me. But he said, I'm going to go ahead and take what I think is the worst sinner I know, but I happen to be related to him, and I'm going to start praying the word of God, and I'm going to ask in the name of Jesus for his salvation. And so what I did was say, Lord, your word says if I ask anything in your name, you will do it. I'm asking for my brother to be saved in Jesus' name. And he stood there and he said, the peace of God came upon me. And it's like I heard the Lord say, close the book, it's done. And about a month later, he was traveling and preaching in a different place. And he was getting up between meetings and was going in the kitchen for a glass of water. And as he grabbed the glass of water, he walked back to his room. He goes, as soon as I crossed the threshold from the kitchen to the living room where I was going, I heard a voice say to me almost audibly, I could feel it like someone was in the room, your brother will never get saved. He goes, what? And for the first thing, he goes, I know someone is scared. Because that was already done. And he said, rather than addressing what I heard, I just smiled and said, this is as good as done. I already closed that book, and I walked on. I didn't even rebuke the devil because I didn't even want to give him acknowledgement that he said anything. Because that's how sure he was that the prayer of faith works. That's how sure he was that the word of God works. Are we going to get this way in our prayer life? That when Kenny a couple weeks ago shared an amazing message. I mean, if you didn't get it, get online and download it. Faith with patience. Unbelief, living in unbelief, one of the number one areas of unbelief in our life is impatience. And he did an amazing job bringing the word out. Excellent job. If you haven't, it was 3 weeks ago. You need to, or 2 weeks ago, whenever it was. It's very good. If you missed it, slcmartinsville.org, free download. And that's a shameless plug for you, Kenny. But what he said, a verse that I love, Hebrews 6:11. But not being slothful, but having patience after you believed in faith. You cannot believe in the name of Jesus and declare these things without applying the principles that we've been teaching about faith. If you name the name of Jesus and aren't willing to stand on his name and have patience and stand, then it's no good to do it. You still have to have faith in the name. That's where we want to go next. So take your Bibles, Acts chapter 3, and then I'm going to give you the teaser for next week and I'll be done. Is it hot in here? Okay. Whew. You know, I might have to get a hanky out and just get my sweat. Then you're going to start calling me my dad. You guys remember, those of you who've never met my father, I've never met a man who can preach and sweat so much. I mean, if it wasn't for the hanky, I mean, I'd tell you right now, I don't think he'd read his Bible. It'd be just drift wet. Heck, I can sweat. So I'm working on it. I'm getting there. Acts chapter 3, verse 1. Oh, my goodness, this is good. Y'all ready for this? This is the main text of the morning. All that was just free stuff in my notes. Praying in the name of Jesus, asking in the name of Jesus, and it will be done. Three different scriptures confirm the same thing. And the enemy has to listen because of the name of Jesus. Now Peter and John, verse 1, went up to the gather. In the temple at the hour of prayer, beginning the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to do ask alms of them that entered the temple. I'm going to stop right there. Did y'all read? You got to know the context of this. This man was carried how often? Sorry, how often? Do you know Jesus walked this gate every day too? You know Jesus was here often? They walked by. You know Jesus walked by this guy quite a few times? Just throwing out there as an observation. Just because Jesus walks by doesn't mean it's always done, does it? Jesus walked by this gate multiple times, and that man, if it was true, if the Bible's not lying, which I don't think it is, said that man was brought out daily. So we know for a fact that Jesus had to have walked by this man more than one time. Isn't this interesting? Just because there's a need doesn't mean it's always done the way we see it. This man was there. Jesus was there. But today is the day. Verse 3. Who seeing Peter and John about to go to the temple asking alms. Do you think he didn't ask Jesus, by the way? I think he did. I think he asked Peter and John. I think he asked them before too. Because they said he did this every day. They're not going to be. Have you ever been down to, have you ever been those over by Walmart when you hit the stop sign? You're like, or how about coming off of 37 on 465? I mean, that same lady is there every day. She's faithful, man. Luke is so cool one day. He's like, I don't got it. You know what? I got a granola bar. He rolls down his windows, give her a granola bar. Good for you, Luke. It's nice. Nice kid. I guarantee you they're going to ask, aren't they? I guarantee this guy did too. I want to build something. This is important to know that not always, not, we get our expectation that, well, Jesus was there. I'm sure it had to happen. Not in this case. Verse 4, and Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, and said, look unto us, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, y'all, what's that say? Expecting to receive something of them. Give me some money. Give me some money. I'm expecting. He didn't know what he was going to get, but he was expecting something. We need to put ourselves in a place today that when the name of Jesus is being used, we have that heart of expecting, just like a beggar had, for something he needed. If you've got physical pain, if you've got trials you're going through, if you've got depression you're fighting against, if you've got fear that's warring against you, we need to come to Jesus like the beggar and said, Jesus. Then Peter said, oh, change of plans. Silver and gold I do not have, but such I have I give thee in, ready for this? The name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Well, how do you walk? In the name of Jesus, get up. That man had a choice. Do I want to receive that, or do I want to go back with my natural, earthly way that I think it should be? And I went there for money. They want to give me something more. What do I really want here? I love this. Peter, and he took him by the right hand. Uh-oh. I guess they didn't give him a choice, did they? And lifted him up immediately to his feet, so fear and doubt and unbelief couldn't get in. And his ankle bones received strength. This man has been carried day by day by day. And one man says, in the name of Jesus, get up and walk, and takes him by the hand. So his faith has to be exercised, not just received with his ears, but go ahead and receive it by faith and do something. Action was required, and healing was manifest. Folks, let's not just start asking. Let's do it. Faith without works is dead. I don't care how much you're believing for something. You've got to put faith in action. Do something. Say something. Declare something. Walk somewhere. Humble yourself. Do something that rattles the cages of darkness and allows the Holy Spirit to work through you to manifest the presence and the power of God. You've got to do it. And I'm going to talk next week a little bit more about this. When he says, whatever you bind on earth, be bound in heaven. Why does it have to be that way? Because when Adam fell, he gave authority back to earth. And now God is longing for people like us to exercise the authority that we've been given in the name of Jesus to see heaven manifest through earth. This is what he's longing for. He's longing for you and me to get a revelation that heaven on earth isn't just a dream. It's a reality. It's a lifestyle. Amen. Let's keep going. Verse 8. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And they knew that it was he which was sat for the alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at which would happen. Do you remember when Jesus gave his disciples a promise, greater things than you shall you do when I go to the Father? Why? That the Son may glorify the Father. That the Father would be glorified through the Son. Do you know what happened right here at that beautiful gate? The Son was glorified. The Father was honored because a man that they witnessed for years, an invalid who couldn't do anything, got touched by the name and the power of Jesus. And they saw with their eyes and they glorified our God because of it. That is always the fruit of a miracle. If you want to rob God and take it on yourself, shame on you. I sometimes feel like I wish we need testimonies to honor and glorify what God has done. But make sure to testify, you're testifying on the goodness of God and on the guy who prayed for you. Come on, Jesus is to be exalted. Hallelujah. It's the name of Jesus. Let's keep reading because we're not done. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together, and under them of the porch that's called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered the people and said this, "You men of Israel, why marvel at this? Why look so earnestly on us? Though by our own power or holiness, we made this man to walk." Come on, that's good stuff. It wasn't something we did. It wasn't because I'm living right. It's because it wasn't me. The God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his son Jesus. Him in the presence of Pilate that was determined to let him go, but you denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murderer to be granted unto you and killed the Prince of Life whom God had raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And verse 16, if you wouldn't mind just circling star in this one and just go ahead and do a jumping cartwheel if you can. And his name through faith in his name. Wait. In his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Do you see how faith and the name are tied together and cannot be separated? The name of Jesus, through faith in the name, is why this man is standing today. I want to be a faith church, but I want to be a Jesus church. And I want to be a church that has faith in the name of Jesus, that when we use his name, we know it's powerful. Joyce Meyer said something last week that I've probably watched her in 10 years. But I've been doing a lot of research for fun. She's a great teacher. And she said, "I want to share something with you about the name of Jesus. But before I do, I want to share something with you." And I know I'm going to go, this isn't in my notes, so just give me a 30-second delay here, or 3 minutes. Just being honest. I want to share something with you when we start talking about the power of the name of Jesus. I want to give you a warning first, and it struck my heart. And it says, "Thou shalt not use the name of the Lord thy God in vain." As something that's casual or something that's unholy or just something we tread upon. A lot of times we think that GD is the only way we can use his name in vain. Do you know the prophetic world uses his name in vain all the time? "Oh, the Lord told me this." Sure. "Did you have pizza last night? Didn't really settle well?" We got crazy. But you know what? That God told them. God's telling you, they can't wake up without God telling them to open their eyes. That's in you. That is just as, I'm telling you. We got to be careful that the name of Jesus isn't used mundane, casually, because it ought to be honored. And I love what was said. She said this. She goes, "The name of God is holy." And when we talk about the name of God, it ought to be in a place of holiness, reverence. If we can casually say, "Oh my God, I can't believe that happened." I'm not judging y'all, but I want to encourage you that in the name of Jesus, if we're going to start declaring and standing and using the name, which is above every name, the power of the name, we got to be careful not to use it over here casually and use it in vain. Because when I use and I want to call, I shall call upon the name of the Lord, who is my rock and my strength. When I use the name of the Lord, it should draw attention to demons. My body should know, the name of Jesus is being used. There must be symptoms or got to go. But when I'm using his name all the time, casually, it takes away a little of the power of what I believe. It's a warning. I love, and I, you know what, I find myself, and I love this, Joyce Meyer said this, because I find myself, once in a while, oh, Lord. And she goes, I said that this week. Folks, when we say Jesus is Lord, and then we turn around and go, Lord, I can't believe that happened. Do you see a problem there? Jesus is one with authority and honor and revered above all else. Oh, my Lord, I can't believe that happened. Do you see a problem there? One is honored and revered. The other is casual and flippant. If we're going to know and walk in the name and the power of the name of Jesus, we must honor that name above every other name. Amen? Thanks for the tangent. Let's close with this right here. Proverbs 18:10. This is where we're going to start for next week. And if you want to go ahead and start running around the church, any runners in here? Uh-oh, just kidding. You'll scare me. But it doesn't bother me. I can handle it. I'm bulletproof. Proverbs 18:10. This is where we're going to go next week, folks. And I've sweat myself through this one. I love it. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. What's a strong? Whoa. His name? The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous can run into it and are safe. One translation says the name of the Lord is a high tower, and the righteous run into it and they're lifted to safety. This is his name. This isn't just something he does. It's who he is. Psalms 91:1. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. El Shaddai is what that means. The God of my covering and my protector. I can run to Jesus. I can run to the name. And that name protects me. It covers me. It lifts me up out of my trouble. And it puts me upon a rock. It's the name that does that. His name gives me peace. His name gives me strength. His name brings healing. Demons shudder at his name. Cancer has to flee at his name. Headaches have to go because the name of Jesus is more powerful than any name. We read last week in Philippians 2:9 that under heaven and earth and anywhere, the name of Jesus is more powerful. And we start getting that in us. We start living it out. We don't allow that stuff in our lives anymore. Kenneth Hagin said this, and this was in 1986. He said, I haven't had a headache since 1933. He's an old man, by the way. 1933. I heard that this week and went, whoa, man, that was a long time ago. He said, I'm not telling you my head didn't ache. I'm telling you it didn't get in. I had attacks and my body felt it, but I began to use the name of Jesus and said, you know what? You're trespassing. Get out. And pain had to go. I've not had it. He goes, and I used to deal with headaches that were splitting. This was just, if you really like a lot, only maybe a third of what I'm saying is from this. But I don't mind giving credit to who credit's due. I didn't make this stuff up. It's in the Bible. But you can Google it, YouTube it right now if you want. It's Understand the Name of Jesus by Kenneth Hagin. 1986, he preached that sermon. 86. That's 30 years ago. Older than some of you in the room. 30 years ago, and the word still works, folks. I don't mind giving credit because these are men of God that have preached the word faithfully, and we want to use the word today just as powerfully. And you know what? Before him, 30 years before that, there was probably another one that preached the message. And before that was another one. I'll never forget, 20 years ago, we went to a pastor's conference, my very first one. And it was a Lester Summerall, Rod Parsley type thing. We're all going there, and it was awesome. And they said, the very thing we want to tell you pastors is there's nothing near the sun. The greatest privilege and honor is if you leave here and preach what you receive, it's an honor to know that God spoke through us. You don't own the word, man. It's right in here. The name of the Lord is to be honored. It's the righteous run into it, and they're safe. Next week, we're going to talk about we have been given a name too. Who all of heaven and earth is the name derived from. Do you know that you have a relationship with the Most High? That you're co-heirs with Him? Whew. That means when we call on the name of Jesus, let me just give you a spoiler alert. Ephesians 2, you were seated with Him in heavenly places. And so therefore, our position of authority shouldn't be one of begging, but of declaring what He's done for us. Because we're seated in Him. We're placed in Him. And nothing can get to me. Nothing can injure me according to Jesus. He said it then, right? In Luke 10, didn't He say that? And nothing shall by any means injure you? Okay, I got to stop. This is good stuff. Whew. Okay. What are we doing here? I'm done this morning. Let's do communion. Is that what we're doing? Okay, come on up, guys. I apologize. I have next week's sermon already half written, so I better probably put it away before I start preaching that. This morning, as we take communion, thank you very much. I'll grab this. And as you guys are getting this passed out to you, I ask him to wait till the end because I want to tell you, if we have faith in the name of Jesus, do we also have faith in this? I have faith in this right here, folks. This is a symbol of covenant. It's a symbol of promise that everything we said about the name of Jesus wouldn't have meant much if it wasn't for this. The resurrected power gave credibility and honor to the name that we serve. His body was broken, bruised, and beaten for us. And we celebrate the fact that He did it for us as a substitution so we don't have to live this way. And I got faith in that. And I, folks, it's not a popular message for some, but Jesus suffered for me. Right here in the bread, so He cleansed me from it here. He was sick. This was put upon His body as the serpent was lifted in the wilderness. Back in Moses' day, sign of sickness, so was the Son of Man lifted up. Sickness was raised up by Jesus so the blood could cover it. Sin was taken upon the body of Jesus so the blood could cover it. You guys got faith in this morning? I got faith in the work of the cross of Jesus Christ, who took it for me and shed His blood for me so I can live a life of covenant. So we're going to take the bread in a second. I'm waiting. I'm patient. That was faith speaking right there. I said, I'm patient. That was faith right there, folks. I pray for someone this week, and I expect it to change. I realize patience, faith, and patience. Hallelujah. Jesus. There's power in His name. There's power in His name. It's okay. While we're waiting, just enjoy the name of Jesus, the strong tower. The Alpha and the Omega, the Prince of Peace, the resurrection life. The bread of life. Never hunger again. Never thirst again when you get His presence. Father, we hold this cracker bread as a symbol of honor to You. You took all this stuff that we just talked about and put it upon Yourself as the complete sacrifice of everything we need. You did it for us. So today, we, in remembrance, remember the amazing sacrifice You became for us. You became the sin sacrifice, the substitutionary sacrifice for everything that we have need of. And I want to thank You for it this morning. I want to I thank you, Jesus, that you did it so we don't have to. So we honor you this morning by remembering the broken body that was broken for us. In Jesus' name, let's take it. All right. Everybody look up here real quick. That's what we're going to do. We're going to do something different this morning. If right now you're struggling with fear, worry, anxiety, depression, anything that's not physical, that is a constant problem that you're fighting with, this morning I want you to do me a favor. Don't do it yet. I got more. I'm going to name out some more. In just a minute, I'm going to ask you to put your hand over your heart. Hold this in just a second. If you have physical pain in your body, and we believe in the name of Jesus, right? We just preached it. Why not practice it? Would you agree? Why not just apply it now? Better now than never. If you have pain in your body, I want you to put your hand on your body. If you want to put it where the pain is, it's fine. Or you just want to put it in your heart. I don't care. It's because of the blood of Jesus that we have the provision to declare He was rejected, despised of men, acquainted with grief. He did this for us. So there's nothing emotionally that you've been through that he didn't take care of. But it's time today to receive in the name of Jesus what's been rightfully ours as co-heirs with him. So as we hold this juice this morning, let's pray this prayer. As I put my hand on my body this morning, your word says, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. But as I lay hands on this body right now, I speak and declare that I have faith in the name of Jesus that brings healing, spirit, soul, and body. Spirit, you are born again, bought with a price. Soul, your mind, your emotions, and your will is renewed by the word of God right now. Fear, worry, depression, anxiety, jealousy, anger, wrath, rage, anger, frustrations, rebellion, all these things right now in your soul, we declare that the blood of Jesus covers them. And I am free. I ask to be set free right now in the name of Jesus. And I declare in the name of Jesus, I am free. Are those your words? I am free. Ask anything in my name, I will do it. The blood of Jesus covers all those things. And now for my physical body, spirit, soul, and now this physical body, every ache, I don't care how old you are. There was no qualifier on this. I'm just getting old. No, you're not. Your body has to line up today with your faith in the name of Jesus. Your vision, I hear that right now in the Lord. Your vision right now has to line up in the name of Jesus. Stomach issues right now has to line up with the name of Jesus. Come on, right now, whatever that is in your stomach, in Jesus' name, I declare the name of Jesus. I have faith in the name of Jesus to heal right now any stomach issues going on right now. Blood pressure, head, just aches. I keep hearing that all the time, but aches. I rebuke aching. I don't want to ache. It's pain. It doesn't deserve to be there. It's an intruder to your peace. I know I'm taking a minute, but that's okay. Acts 10:38. For God anointed this Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power. What? Doing good, healing all those that were oppressed by the devil. Anything that's oppressing you is not of God. So today, in the name of Jesus, I have faith that all physical oppression has to go in the name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. I receive it by faith in the name of Jesus. I'm really liking this. I'm receiving it because of the name that's greater than the name of cancer and disease. Depression, you have a name, but there's a name greater. His name is Jesus. And so today, as we hold this juice, representing the covenant that we have with our King, we honor you today for the blood that was shed for us, that was shed by Jesus. And we celebrate our victory in Jesus' name. Amen. You can stand up and let's close out with, I'm sure, a song about Jesus, I'm hoping, I'm thinking. Amen? Ready to stand? Oh, man, you guys are quiet today.
But the Lord Most High, your hidden glory in creation, now revealed it, you are Christ. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. And nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. You didn't want heaven without us, so Jesus, you brought heaven down. My sin was great, your love was greater. What could separate us now? What a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a wonderful name it is. And nothing compares to this. What a wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus.
You have no ease.
The name above every name. Sickness vanishes, demons just have to run. I realized something real quick on a very serious note. I realize why I'm sweating profusely. I have a mop on my head that needs, and you know what? I haven't a haircut in so long. I realize I'm sweating through my hair. I realize, you know what? I'm gonna have to get this thing cut. But on a serious note, shoot, that's why I'm sweating. I realized it. All right, bad joke. Anyways, tonight, if you are getting baptized or have someone getting baptized, at 6:50, I'd like to meet with, if you're a child, bring the parents with us. We want to give you a few minutes that's going to give you an overview of what baptism and what we're going to be doing. So let's get there at 6, enjoy the pool, enjoy fellowship, but at 6:50, come see Pastor Kenny and I here. We're going to throw some pins in the water and maybe, is there any adults or just kids? Yeah. Okay, a couple more. So we're going to get some adults in here too, and we're going to just get a bunch of people wet, but we're going to get them changed as a outward display of their walk with God. So if you would, 6:50, we'll pull you aside, and then by 7 o'clock, we'll be ready to roll. So please, tonight, enjoy and go in the name of Jesus. Amen? All right, guys.
Lord is there.
You turn my morning into dancing. You turn my night into day. Put on all my heaviness and I put on this garment of praise. You turn my morning into dancing. You turn my night into day. Where the Spirit of the Lord is there.